Yes. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. I was thinking a lot about what the New Year's message should be, and I thought about what I needed the most. And even though prayer is something that you might often practice, yet the more you pray, the more you see your need for prayer. The more you pray, the more you wish you had more faith in prayer. The more you pray, the more you wish that you were more fervent in prayer. Paul talked about true prayer being a true labor, that it being a physical labor. He talked about how he prayed for the Galatians that in such an agony that it was like giving birth. I can tell you, if you're going to truly try to reach God in prayer, if you're going to really, really, really pray, it's going to be a spiritual thing. It's going to be the Holy Spirit consuming your heart for something or several things that you're praying for. And it's going to be so important. You're going to be so importunate. You're going to be so intense that you may sweat. You may have physical pain as you pray, that your heart begins to almost, as it were, heave in your body, begging God for things. I don't know if you've ever been where you wept in prayer, and then you couldn't quit weeping, and then, or where you come to God in prayer and you just had to have it, and you needed His attention, and you the whole time the devil's trying to fight you. He's trying to cast these weird thoughts into your head that God doesn't care, or stop praying for this, you know, or it's fruitless, or you're going to have to look for some other way. You're going to have to look to man for help or something. And it just became so frustrating that you just had to put your foot down, as it were, in prayer, and say, I will not move until I hear from God. In the old days, they used to call it praying through. That what that means is that you would just pray and pray and pray until God gave you His peace, until God gave you an answer, until you were sure that God had heard you. That peace that passes understanding, that sweet voice of the Holy Spirit saying, I hear you, I hear you. A lot of times we just pray and we just go through the motions. We don't really mean business with God. But Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, this is the primary thing. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. It's amazing how often prayer is mixed with thanksgiving in the Scripture. How often David is praying for something and he's thanking God in the next verse. How often Jesus is praying and thanking the Father as well as asking for things. So continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And if we were to look in Thessalonians, we would say, where it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore. These are very simple commands to understand, but very hard to live. A fellow named H.J. Brown said, be bold and courageous. When you look back on your life, you'll regret the things you didn't do more than the ones you did. And there is a great truth in that. The things of life we leave undone are often harder to get over than many of our sins, our mistakes, our failures, our foolishness. I regret my sins. I regret the things that where I was embarrassed, where I failed, where I messed up. But mostly I regret not doing, not saying, and not being what I should be for the Lord. In things we are not doing, we see hopes that could have been a reality. When all is said and done, those hopes, those dreams, those aspirations and that potential are what we regret the most, what we've left undone. A life that never materialized. And so many older people watched their life disappear like a vapor that lingered just a moment, but didn't matter much in importance because they didn't walk with God. They didn't fellowship with God. They didn't learn from God. They didn't worship God. They breathed his air, they drank his water, they lived in his blessings and never thanked him, never loved him. When we look back on our lives, we may regret the things we didn't do much more than the things we did. Now, when we think of the new year, we could have great resolutions. And a lot of churches this morning, they're talking about great resolutions we could make. Spend more time with family, exercise more, read more godly books, eat healthier, read our Bibles through this year, continue our education, take up a new hobby to refresh my mind, enjoy the outdoors more, travel to new places, try learning another language. There are many good things we could do with the time we have in life. These are wonderful things. But when narrowed down to it, if we were to do one primary thing and concentrate on that thing as the main focus of our life, what should that one thing be? When all is said and done, do you want to have the peace of knowing you chose that one thing? What if I told you that by doing this one thing, all the other important things in life would fall into place? What is that thing? Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And so, prayer is the essential. Remember, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Well, what is the way in way we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? It's prayer. Prayer is the essential way we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is the key to loving God. You can't tell me you love God if you don't spend time with him in prayer. Communication is so important in love. If you say that you love him, that must mean that you pray to him a lot. It is the key to loving God. It is the way we walk in the Holy Spirit and walk with the Holy Spirit. Prayer is the key to bringing every thought captive to the Lordship of Jesus and glorifying him in everything we do. If we do only one thing, it should be that we would be devoted to God in prayer, that we would come like the disciples did to Jesus and say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Notice they didn't say, "Lord, teach us about prayer. Lord, give us the magic words." They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that's important. You know, I read the book by R.A. Torrey, wonderful book, How to Pray. The great evangelist R.A. Torrey. And the book, you'll find yourself wanting to hit your knees. You'll find yourself being inspired to prayer. You'll find yourself hungering and thirsting to prayer as you read that book. But when it all comes to it, down at the end is that, you know, how to pray for healing, how to pray for this, how to pray. It's just this lesson. Just pray. Just start praying. It's not enough that you know all about prayer, that you have all these wonderful prayer promises, if you do not pray. You know, you can pray anywhere, anytime, all the time. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And in so many places, the prayer is the preeminent part of a Christian life, of a godly life. Let's be devoted to God in prayer. God loves spending time with you. He loves his children. He loves spending time with us. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. How did he do that? In prayer. He was continually in communication with him, continually his heart breathing out to God, telling God about everything, talking to God about everything, and listening to God. He walked with God by continual prayer, and one day he walked straight into heaven praying. Is that fellowship with God that is so important, that it is how we walk with him. Devote yourself to prayer. That's my main point. Devote yourself to prayer. Now I am going to answer it. Why? Why devote yourself to prayer? The words "continue earnestly" here mean to persist in, to busy yourself in. So we're to persist in prayer. We're to busy ourselves in prayer. When we read this, we must ask ourselves, am I really devoted to prayer? Do other believers consider me to be a person of prayer? When I'm busy, am I also busy in talking with God? Do I find myself longing for the next time I can be alone with God in real earnest prayer? Do I say no to something because it would cut into my prayer time? Or do I neglect prayer because of other things going on? I'll tell you this, when you begin to pray, you might as well get a little piece of paper out and a pencil, because the devil's going to remind you of everything else you have to do. It's a to-do list for later, right? But you've got to forget all these other things, these temporal things, these material things, these transient things, for the things that are most important, the true riches of God that come to us in answer to prayer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You're going to get more wisdom by walking with God in His Word and walking with God in prayer. You're going to get out of all the tomes of the libraries, universities, and the so-called education system. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and prayer is the vehicle that to get you in that frame of heart, in that fear of the Lord, where there is the beginning of wisdom. Devote yourself to prayer. When I ask myself these things, I see that I'm not always given to prayer as I should be. And when I do pray, a lot of it is not mixed with the faith and the thankfulness and the praise and the intensity that it should be. And I ask myself then, why should I be devoted in prayer to God? And I have 7 biblical reasons why we should be. Number 1, why should we be devoted to God in prayer? Because it's one of the greatest commands of the Bible. It's one of the greatest commands of the Bible. Romans 12:12, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. This is another words for prayer. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep watch over your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Matthew 26:41, the Lord Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. One of the best ways to be steering clear of temptation is to be walking with God in prayer. To be content with the things of God as we pray, as we thank Him, as we realize He's our all in all. Mark 13:33, Jesus said again, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. 1 Peter 4:7, he said, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. David was a man of prayer. He was called a man after God's own heart. And it says of David, he said, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We made a little scripture song out of it a long time ago in college. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry out loud. And he shall hear my voice, he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon. Daniel was called a man greatly beloved of the Lord. And what you see is the great mark of Daniel's life, but that he was a man given to prayer. He prayed through. He received answers from God about his prayers. He asked questions about God and continued to pray till God came and spoke to him through an angel named Gabriel, till God gave him the vision. And he was such a godly man. And he was made 10 times wiser than all the other people in Babylon. And he was so busy in running the government. He was second only to the king when it came to authority, but they constantly sought Daniel's counsel and advice. Constantly needed to hear from, wanted to hear what God had to say. And of course they went to Daniel to be that voice of God to them. And Daniel still found time 3 times a day that he would break away from the chaos and the work of running a nation, the nation of Babylon, and he would go to his room and pray. He was thrown in the lion's den for being a man of prayer. Prayer is so important. You know, I can remember still in the 80s when the Soviet Union was still in power. and reading the things that the American media never did talk to us about, the persecution of Christians over in the Soviet Union. It took people like Richard Wurmbrand and others who were held captive and made to do unspeakable things and endure just horrible tortures and pains for them to escape and tell us what was going on over there. Families were separated. They were sent to labor camps in Siberia. They were stripped of everything. The word of God was illegal in the Soviet Union. From 1918 up to the early 90s, it was illegal to have even a page of scripture. It's illegal in Saudi Arabia. It's illegal in Iraq. It's illegal in Iran. It's illegal in Myanmar. It's illegal in China. It's illegal a lot of places to have the Bible. Thank God we have the Word of God. They were stripped of everything. Families were separated. The only Bible they could have was the one they memorized, the parts they memorized. The only thing they had was prayer. And look what God did in answer to their prayers. Former Soviet Union now has more religious freedom than we do in the United States. Their teachers can teach about a six-day literal creation in the schools. Their teachers can tell others about Jesus. They can have visiting pastors come in and give the gospel. They can take their Bible to school. They can pray in school. The Christmas hymns they sing can be hymns that are from the Bible, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And so much more religious freedom over there now. And then the Bible started flooding in like crazy as well when the Iron Curtain fell. Our Savior taught us the importance of prayer by His example. You think of it. Jesus was sinless, perfect, pure in thought, word, deed, and motive. In every way He was pure and perfect. And He was God Himself. Yet He prayed and set the example in prayer for us. It says of Jesus, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place and prayed. Again, it says, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus said to the disciples, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. So by His example, by His words, Jesus taught us to be always in prayer. If you have to get up early in the morning to go be alone apart from the cares or the people that are begging for your attention, get up earlier in the morning and spend time with God. Reminds me of that poem, I don't have it here. It says, I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and His presence like the sunshine came in glory on my breast. All day long His presence lingered, all day long He sailed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were torn and battered, other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. So I think I've learned the secret, learned o'er many a troubled way. If you meet God in the morning, you can have Him all the day. And to be able to do as Jesus did, to practice what Jesus taught, and to have that certain place, or to go to a solitary place, this place that will be known to us as our prayer closet, our prayer room, our prayer garden, whatever, that we often go there to spend time with God. Number two, why to be devoted to God in prayer? Because God has promised time and again that He hears us, and that He loves to bless us. Prayer isn't a pointless religious activity. Prayer isn't just reciting some words. It isn't going over and saying things over and over again and then putting a Jesus in Jesus' name at it. It isn't a pointless religious activity. The living, almighty God listens to our prayers. He hears our prayers. And He loves to be prayed to and talked to and looked to. He loves for us to depend on Him, to lean on Him, to ask Him for the things that only He can give. And He loves to show Himself strong for those who cry out to Him. Prayers is much about listening to God as it is about pouring out our requests to Him. life would be very sorrowful here. Life would be very, how would we say, stressful here if we didn't have the assurance that we'd hear from God in answer to our prayers. We need to hear from Him. We need to enjoy His presence when we pray. We need to calm our hearts in the comfort and strength that comes by the Spirit of the Lord when we pray. Another reason we need to pray and be devoted is we need God to overcome our wills. And we sang that in that song, "Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine. Till with thee I will one will. Till every earthly part of me is consumed with you." We need God to overcome our wills. And the only way that we can do that is in prayer. The night before Jesus was crucified, He said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Humanly speaking, Jesus' flesh did not look forward to all the torture and pain and suffering. Humanly speaking, we do not naturally want to do the things that please God or deny the flesh. We want to do those things that are pleasing to the flesh. It's not natural for us to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies, to worship God, to take up His cross, or to love others as we love ourselves. We have strong wills that often fight against God, and we need our wills to be broken. You know, our biggest fights aren't against our flesh. Our biggest fights aren't against the world. Our biggest fights aren't against the devil. Most of the time, our biggest fights are with God. We don't want to do what He wants us to do. And so, we don't pray as we should. We don't get in and meditate in His Word as we should. So the best way to be humbled, the best way to be broken before God is in prayer when we yield our will to His will. The Bible puts it in several ways. One of the ways is present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. How do you present your body a living sacrifice to God? In prayer. We surrender to Him. We yield our will to His will. We need, sixthly, we need God's grace for what lies ahead. Why is it important to prayer? Why should I devote myself to prayer? Because I need God's grace for what lies ahead. None of us knows the future, but we can often see on the horizon something that's going to face us. We can see something that just lies ahead. Maybe we see that we're going to have a surgery. Maybe we see we need a job change. Maybe we see that there's going to be a confrontation with someone, that we're going to have to deal with someone, or where there's a hard decision that we have to face. And so the Psalms are filled with verses like Psalm 25:4, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me." We often need God's clear direction and peace. So many times I've been awake at night knowing that I'm facing a situation that very next day, and I needed God's wisdom. I needed His help. I needed Him to go before me. And often, well, every time, God did go before me. God did make a way. God did send an answer. In Psalm 5 and verse 8, David said again, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Make your way straight before my face." In other words, "Lord, it's all confusing. I don't know what to do. Make it straight before me. Lead me, guide me, let me know exactly what to do. Show me the way wherein I should walk." And so it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." Psalm 143, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you." He's saying, "Lord, lead me and guide me because I'm praying to you. I'm asking you for these things. I lift up my soul to you." Lastly, why be devoted in prayer? Why should this be the chief aim of 2019, starting today, all through the year, to be a person of prayer, to be a man of God, a woman of God? Because we pray. Because we pray, our wills are devoted to His will. Our stubbornness, our selfishness is being continually laid at His feet. We're having grace for today and hope for tomorrow. Because we're walking in prayer with God, we have a peace that passes understanding. We have a joy that is full. Because of these things that are promised to us in answer to prayer, we are a happy people. We're satisfied. And if you ask us, what could you have done this year that would have made you happy? Being people of prayer, we would have said, oh, that I had been closer to God in prayer. Oh, that I'd been more intense in prayer. Oh, that I'd been more believing in prayer. That I believed Him for greater things. And you say, are you content? Oh, absolutely. I walk with God, and He makes me content. Amen. And so, by continuing in prayer and abiding in communion with Jesus, it's not easy, but it is possible. By God's gracious Spirit, or He would not have commanded it to us so many times. Over and over again, He commanded us to it. And if it was impossible, there's nothing impossible to the Holy Spirit of God. Remember that the passage we read, if you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's why it's one of my favorite passages, because everything is possible by the Holy Spirit's power. Everything is possible. That my witness to my lost friends and neighbors and loved ones, my words wouldn't fall to the ground because the Holy Spirit would use them like barbed arrows in the heart, barbed arrows in the mind. In other words, they go in and then it's hard to get them out. You know, I've read where some people have been Jehovah's Witnesses for 30 years knocking on doors, every Saturday knocking on doors. And it was the Christians who walked with God in prayer who just said one little thing here or there that got into their heads until they surrendered their hearts to Christ. So there's no case too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for Him. Unbroken communion with God is possible. He commanded it so much, it has to be possible with His help. Is it possible to live each minute in the presence of God? I answer yes. Can we be in touch with Him all the time? Yes. Can we fall asleep in His arms and awaken in His presence? Yes. Can we bring the Lord back to our mind every few seconds so that God is always in our thoughts? Yes. By continuing in prayer and abiding in communion with Jesus, it is possible to always to fulfill this verse, pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. And what did Colossians 4:2 say? Continue earnestly, fervently, intensely. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. God would not command us something that's not possible for us with His help. The Holy Spirit is here to help us to walk with Christ, to show us Christ. As we close, the application is this. Like the disciples, we need to pray, Lord Jesus, teach me to pray. Now, I always put this caveat in here. I always say, Lord, teach me to pray. Help me be more faithful in prayer. But Lord, don't let it be a tragedy that drives me to prayer. Let it be because I love You. Let it not be just a terrible need that drives me to constantly pray. Let it be that I want to walk with You. Let it be Your goodness that causes me to want to be always talking to You. Let it be because I'm so thankful for all Your goodness that I can't stop talking to You and thanking You and blessing You and taking everything to You. Let it be because Your presence is so near to me and You're so real to me that I want to talk to You all the time. Lord, don't let it be that sorrow and heartache and distress and danger are making me pray all the time. You know what? Sometimes God sends those things. Just like Brother Philip said in Sunday school, sometimes God allows those storms so that it drives His people closer to Him and awakens sinners to call on Him. But let it not be those things that make us pray. You know, a lot of times people don't pray until something bad happens. Until they don't have money in the bank, they don't have food in the refrigerator, they can't pay the bills, or the car breaks down. Then they start to pray. Let us continue in prayer. and watching the same with thanksgiving. Let us continue earnestly in prayer, being honest with God, talking to Him about everything. You might as well be honest with God because He already sees your heart. You know, I've seen people that start to pray in public meetings, and Lord, we know this, and Lord, we know that, and la 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 la, bless all the little hungry children in China, the prisoners in Saudi Arabia, blah blah blah, and keep on going. Just come to God earnestly, truthfully, honestly, with what you desire, with what you need, with what you need to talk to Him about. If I was going to work like Philip is today, I'd say, Lord, I don't want to go to work today. But I pray that you'd make me a blessing there. Help me to have your songs in my heart and mind. Help me to see that I'm serving you. Lord, let every beat of my heart at work today be because it beats in love for you. Let me serve you there. Lord, I pray that you keep me from getting hurt. And I want to thank you. Remember watching the same with Thanksgiving? I want to thank you that I'm going to get paid for today. I'd hate to be laboring like so many people around the world just to eat. And not get paid. You know, this is a blessing of God to be able to have that strength. Lord, teach us to pray. Just pray. Let's begin by taking every thought to God in prayer. When we wake up, a lot of us do. I don't know about you, but I have a good idea. When you wake up in the morning, one of the first things you do is you thank God for the day. Lord, thank you for watching over us last night. Thank you for another day to serve you. Lord, help me to walk with you today. Help me to love you today. Thank you for the gift of life. When we wake up, when we're getting ready for the day, Lord, I pray as I put on my shirt that I might be clothed with Christ's righteousness. I pray as I put on my shoes that I would walk as Christ walked. When we're working, let's tell Him what's on our mind. Lord, I'm going to strangle that guy unless you give me grace. Lord, I'm gonna mess this job up. I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. I'm going to hit somebody I shouldn't hit unless you give me grace. By the way, forgiving isn't in our human nature. To err is human. To forgive is divine. And if you're going to forgive somebody, you're going to truly forgive them, you're going to need God's help. You're going to need His Spirit to help you and forgive through you. At the end of your day, let your mind settle on Him and go to sleep in His arms. Take every thought to Him in prayer. Your life will be better no matter what lies ahead this new year if you're walking with Him. If you're walking in the Spirit and hand in hand with your Heavenly Father, you'll have a better year this year than you had last. So, oh, but you don't know what storms will come. Oh, I know I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know if you're holding His hand, He'll be with you through it all. Father, we pray that you would bless us now. Thank you for your love to us. Lord, if prayer wasn't so important, the biggest, longest book of the Bible wouldn't be filled with it. Our Savior wouldn't have practiced it so much if it wasn't important for us. He wouldn't have commanded us to do it continually, without ceasing. Without losing heart. Father, we pray that we might be made holy in prayer, that we might be made sweeter in prayer, that we might be made more alert and more sensitive to the voice of the sweet Holy Spirit in prayer. And we pray most of all that you would teach us to pray by your goodness, your presence, your grace, and not by struggle, confrontation, distress, or trial. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, sir. We're going to receive our offering now.